Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Sigma 6, code name for a highly trained special mission force. Its objective, stop Cobra, stop Cobra.
Sigma 6, be a hero.
G.I. Joe will turn the tide.
Be a hero.
Sigma 6 is on your side.
Be a hero.
Be the best of the best.
Whenever there's a mission, G.I. Joe is there.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, the only G.I. Joe podcast show in existence. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Race to Canis.
I am the only Robert Chan in existence.
I'm the only Gina Ippolito in existence who hates this podcast as much as I do.
I was going to say, like, I bet if you found all of the other Gina Ippolitos in the world, rounded them up and said, what do you think of this podcast? Almost to a one. We'd be talking like 99 and 44 one-hundredths percent of them would be like, this is trash. But I don't think any of them would hate it as much as you.
I don't know. It's weird, though, because I do feel like of all the Gina Ippolitos we could have gotten to do the show, we chose correctly.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I think you'd have to interview each and every one. And there are a lot. You wouldn't think there are, but with the amount of messages I get from people reaching out to me to say, is this you? And then I'm like, no, there are a lot of us, apparently.
I will say it is the catch-22 of Gina's life that she absolutely wants to get done with as quickly as possible, recording every single week of the podcast that gets her the jobs that she wants to stop recording so she can work on.
Yeah.
It's a real tough situation there. You know, she would have quit the show eons ago, except she needs the work.
I would have quit the show eons ago.
Oh God, bless America.
Right, after Egon was born.
Six and a half years, like multiples of 6.5 years. It's not really convenient as a measure of time, but it is evocative.
We used to meet in person. Remember that?
We used to
meet up at Chan's place. It was a whole thing. Took longer.
Yes, it did.
These days, we're all on Zoom, so we don't have to look each other in the eye as we're fucking each other.
Look.
Wait, what?
How did that wait? I'm for that, like, no eye contact. Then all of a sudden, it's just all the butt sex. I'm like, Jesus. How did we get here?
I love that you agreed to it immediately and glossed over it.
Oh, my God. We used to have guests. We used to have actual celebrity guests show up and sit in Chan's living room.
Yeah.
Pre-pandemic, I'll never forget having Neil Ross, legendary VO actor Neil Ross, sitting in Chan's living room. Just wondering if he's going to get murdered. It was amazing.
And Jan would make no attempts to clean for these people.
None. None.
How dare you? That was my attempt at cleaning. So,
do you remember, Chan, when we had Bill Ratner, voice of Flint, joining us, and we wanted to impress him so badly, we didn't do it at your place. We had him over at Brent Pope's recording room.
Oh, my God.
Brent Pope, noted audio engineer, His skills par excellence. He knows tech. He knows internet and audio tech like the back of his hand.
I am not touching that statement with a 10-foot cattle prod. God bless America. Anyway, we are talking about G.I. Joe Sigma 6 once again because, I mean, we have to. I think contractually, this is episode 20 of 26 overall. So this is season 2, halfway through. Of G.I. Joe Sigma 6. This is an episode almost called there. Revelations.
Almost there.
I mean, yeah, once we get through this, I think we got the live action movie.
We can end it.
We can end what, Chan?
Our lives.
All of it.
We have way more G.I. Look, we still have Renegades. Renegades is officially that's supposed to be very, very good. I'll say again, that's another 26 episodes. It's supposed to be excellent. And we also have the first live-action movie, I believe, from 2009 popping in first. So prepare for a multi-episode tribute. I don't know how we're going to do that exactly, but it is a lot of fun. Maybe we just do a how-did-this-get-made style. We don't really recap the movie so much as just talk about the movie for like 2 hours with multiple guests. That actually sounds kind of fun. Maybe we should do that. Anyway... It's less work to do it all in one go, Chan. We open up this episode of Sigma 6 with three different Joes. And honestly, I thought it was Tunnel Rat, Heavy Duty, and Long Range. I totally biffed that it was Firefly. The three Joes are there to find a defector. And this is what I wrote. Weirdly enough, I guess I'm a little psychic about where this episode is going. Hey, whatever happened to that Firefly is probably a traitor storyline? That we haven't talked about in like 5 episodes.
Here's the thing. If you watch it on Tubi, like right there is the synopsis. Revelations. The Joes figure out who the traitor is.
Oh, so, okay. Well, there you go.
You know.
There it is.
I mean, honestly, I didn't mind this episode. Compared to some of the other things, at least stuff happened. Like, I could mark things happening, whereas a lot of other episodes, I feel like I start out, I black out for 21 minutes, and then I'm like, well, I guess the same thing happened. At least this one, I'm like, okay, yeah, they don't know who it is. Oh, it's they think it's the shady guy with the eye patch, but really it's Firefly. Oh, they got them chained up in cells. All right, now it's over. Like, at least I had
that's markers. A great recap end. Good night, everybody.
At least I feel like I had markers in this one.
No, this was garbage because they introduce a mech suit, which, oh my God, if I had to choose between my child and a mech suit, it would depend on if my partner were in the room. I'll be honest. Like, the kid doesn't stand a real good chance. And then they just squander it. There are so many problems with the remainder of the episode that's so clearly designed just to like, hey, let's show off this cool thing, which I would be into. But they biff it hard and on every level.
I mean, it's not executed well, but at least there is a story that is followable. you know, like at least there is something. But yeah, I mean, it's not executed well. No. But I remember most of what happened, unlike in
there's
other
not episodes. Enough story for them to screw up.
Like I think that there's more story. I disagree. I think there's more story in this one than there is in other ones.
I think Gina found the tagline, G.I. Joe Sigma 6. It's not executed well. I put that sticker right there on the case. We get this was a little bit weird. It's Heavy Duty, Tunnel Rat, and Firefly. They're meeting a Cobra informer, somebody who's trying to turn traitor on Cobra and give info to the Joes.
City yet?
What's that?
Megalo City. Is
we
that
have talked about Megalo City. Megalo City okay. has appeared before.
Okay. Have we talked Great about name. The fact that there's an alley called Megalo City Alley? kind of like you were to go to Hollywood, walk down Hollywood Boulevard, and... oh, here's a Hollywood Alley.
Yeah, behind the IO West, very famously, there's a Hollywood Alley.
That's not what it's called.
Oh, that's what I called it.
I believe that's known as Ivar.
I would like to give a tip to anyone out there trying to be a spy.
Just the tip?
Just the tip. Mm-hmm. If you want the rest of it, you're gonna have to pay. If you are a spy, I would say don't reveal that unless you're ready to kill the person you revealed that to.
Well, I mean, his goal was to kidnap all of the people. And bring
yeah, but it's so much could go wrong between. Here's what I will say. He comes closer than anyone has to essentially destroying all of these Joes.
He legit catches them.
Yeah. There's a moment that I was very concerned for someone's life. And when we get there, we get there.
I mean, I will say that, but when he reveals himself in the alley, I'm like, man, you better be killing them, because why are you revealing yourself? He prematurely reveals himself a couple of times. It happens to work out, but only because the Joes on this show are so stupid.
No. Very, very stupid. Yes. Tunnel Rat, speaking of which, they go up to visit the guy in the alley who's wearing a trench coat and hiding in a shadow.
And he says,
there he is.
Hey, Cobra dude.
Why? Just why? I hate him so much. I hate incompetent characters who are bad at their jobs.
Yeah.
And that's this entire series. We've learned, again, the main difference between this and original series G.I. Joe is original series G.I. Joe, they were doofuses, but they were always good at it. When Wild Bill came flying in, you were like, oh, that man is going to fly the hell out of that helicopter. You weren't he's probably going to crash it while pooping his pants and screaming about rubber duckies in the tub. But here, every time Scarlett shows up, I'm like, oh God, this is like that girl you didn't want to invite to your birthday party, but your mom said it was either everyone or no one, so you had to invite her.
It's interesting to me that you would associate Tunnel Rat with Ernie from Sesame Street.
It's interesting.
And I was originally going to say, no, that's not. And then I was like, oh... Yeah, he kind of is, isn't he?
If Ernie joined G.I. Joe, he'd be Tunnel Rat. I mean, it's
there. Your mouth.
I used to hate Ernie. I was straight up a Bert guy from day one. And every time Ernie did some stupid shit, I'm like, Bert, you gotta kill this fool. You gotta make him dead. What are you waiting for? I see it in your eyes, man. You're waiting to crack.
Yeah, Ernie. I love me some Bert and Ernie. Two of my faves.
I like Ernie. I don't know why Bert always has to be so fucking negative all the time.
Yeah,
Bert's just trying to sleep, Gina. Bert needs his sleep.
He's grumpy even when he gets his sleep. If he was
he's
positive,
never gotten his sleep, Gina.
No, if he was a positive force when he got his sleep, Ernie would let him get his sleep. But the fact that he's grumpy either way, you better believe I'd be partying with rubber duckies.
Gina, I know based on your experience with Neighbors, you are in fact Bert at the end of the day. You just want to read your book and go to sleep, and people stop it from happening.
That dude was having so much sex last night at 2 a.m.
Did you figure out who it was?
I mean, not if it's the same girl, but I will say that I complained enough that finally he is not... He's either not playing video games or he's wearing headphones. So now I just wake up to the sex.
You know what? All right. I feel
like that's progress.
What's amazing is we're going to look back on this and be like, that was the meet cute.
Ugh. Gross.
Anyway.
I say that's when we're going to look back on this fondly when it's revealed that he's in fact a serial killer. And you'll be like, oh my God, the whole time. We knew.
Yeah. So the Cobra agent who pops out of the alley has glowing red eyes and does not look familiar. And it really struck me thinking back on it now, we never see him again. What was his who is this guy? What is his deal?
What? Wait, what are you talking about? Chan, Jesus, you take this one.
The Cobra agent.
Ray.
Chan.
There was someone there at the beginning who was a decoy. And then when after Firefly goes like, the person they see with the red eyes and the silhouette is Firefly.
Yes, wait, thank what? You, Chan. Firefly, oh my God.
Well, then who was the original person?
Oh, my decoy. God.
A decoy. Well, there was a person there, though. He moved like a person.
Yes. Yes. Fucking
Firefly. We just forget about the decoy?
To hang out and distract these people until he gets the jump on them.
Why does Firefly have glowing red eyes? That's not a thing he does.
I'm going to turn off my brain until Chan explains this to you, because otherwise I'll have a full meltdown.
Thank you. Chan, can you explain the glowing red eyes to me?
I will not. I absolutely will not.
Well, sorry, Gina's brain.
The other thing is that this is if you're a kid that's paying attention, this is when you would be like, well, it can't be the dude with the eye patch. He would only have one glowing red eye.
Ooh, smart. Smart.
Great point. Unless also, he grabs Tunnel Rat and chokes the fuck out of him. And I'm like, I'm here for that.
I mean, this is why I was like, get ready to kill him, man. I was hoping he was killing him one by one. And at the end, it would just be Duke. And then Duke would be like, crap, I need to put together a new team.
G.I. Joe reimagined as an 80s slasher film. I could probably get behind that.
Isn't that what that one Warren Ellis version of this is supposed to be like?
Look. I'm not prepared to talk about the Warren Ellis G.I. Joe Resolute. Guys, we'll experience that together. It is only an hour long, and I got maybe 10 minutes into it, and I had to turn it off. It was so dark and so depressing and so just, at least Sigma 6 is kind of fun.
Would you say it was the Bert of the G.I. Joe universe?
Oh, it was the Oscar the Grouch of the G.I. Joe universe.
Oscar the Grouch is a goddamn delight. Yeah. Yeah, here's the thing. Those two are not the same. Bert chooses to interact with people and is a fucking grump about everything. And he's the one who's like, you know, coming into Facebook groups and posting real big downer shit. And everyone's like, this Bert is back again. Oscar just wants to be left alone. He's probably got like a ton of things queued up on his Netflix. He just wants to hang out with his worm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, who could blame him? That worm is adorable.
Yeah. Mm. He's got everything he needs in that trash can. He's got food and a pet. What else do you need?
I see why you like him now.
This all checks out.
Anyway, Heavy Duty also screams, and that's our cold open for G.I. Joe Sigma 6. We have literally just gotten to the introductory credits. Great job, everybody. We made it.
I don't hate that. As a cold open, it works pretty well.
Honestly, not bad. Yeah, I was fine with that. I could follow it. It makes sense. We cut back to Duke.
You couldn't, though.
You absolutely could not.
Why is his eyes? You still haven't explained why his eyes are glowing red. I'm sorry. Until that happens,
I can't tell. This is a real question, and I am choosing to ignore it.
Fine. Duke has Sigma power armor, which is a lot cooler sounding than what he actually is wearing, which is just regular Duke armor, but with sensors or something. I don't know.
With extra padding and exposed skin.
Exposed arm skin.
To need to remember for later.
Don't worry about that. It's new freshness. High tech made it. Duke is out in the field testing it. He's got a giant plasma cannon, and I'm sorry. That is the most phallic thing I've ever seen in G.I. Joe.
Oh, okay. Well, again, I was going to take issue, and then I got a look at it, and just going to take this little picture here and send it to you all, and hopefully one of us remembers to post it on one of our social medias.
Might happen, might not.
I feel like...
probably won't.
I get all these great pictures, and then... nobody remembers. And
yeah, because the episode goes up like multiple weeks later, and by then we've already lost the turn. Yeah, that's the shot I was thinking of.
It is, yeah.
It is just Duke and his giant cock.
His giant
tongue. He is just waving it around out there. And high tech needs
I don't see it. I don't see it. You guys don't see it? I think you don't know what penises look like. I'm just going to go out on a limb here.
I mean, look, I haven't seen mine in about 13 years, so I have to make assumptions. You,
take a gun or a guitar or, I don't know, a broomstick, I guess, and sort of like put it around your hip area and then just jut it out. That's somebody compensating for their equipment.
It is like Cloud Strife thinks that that weapon is too big for his body. Thank you. Chan's with me.
Good ref.
Thank you. Okay. It's a video game ref, and I got one of you. I can't believe it. Anyway, High Tech's firing up the plasma shield firewall. So how does the best way to explain this? Duke is wearing allegedly power armor, but yes, the elbow areas on both his arms and his like hands, his like fingers, are just exposed to the world. So it isn't great as power armor. It looks primarily just like his normal Sigma 6 outfit, maybe like 10% bulkier. But we know that it's powerful because High Tech has these plasma shield firewalls, which like are like energy shields, I guess. They're force fields of some kind, I think, or they're heat sinks. They're something. And it's very important to the protection of the person wearing the outfit. They don't really give you a great idea of what it is, other than a thing that shows up on a screen that turns green or red, whether it's good or not.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if it was powering the gun or the gun was separate from it and they were just heat shields. But then given what happens later on in the episode, they're not just heat shields. There's some sort of heat sink maybe, but he was getting hot when they were being used. So, you know, it wasn't designed necessarily for the comfort of the person wearing the armor. I did like the look of the armor, like a skin notwithstanding. Like, if you tell me power armor, I'm going to be a little bit into it, even if I don't want to.
Look, but when you tell me power armor, I'm thinking of Fallout. I'm thinking of Warhammer 40,000. Heck, I'm even thinking of Deke era Cobra Commander when I think of power armor.
I mean, I would go with season 3 of Macross, but you know, that's just me.
It's fine, but this isn't that.
It's not that.
It is not even close to that. That's no. Not power armor.
Nope.
Have we gotten to the Cobra scene yet?
No, well, that's very, very soon. Cobra's got some good moments in this one.
I will say it was kind of fun that both High Tech and Duke are like little fucking boys.
That was the coolest thing ever.
Was it dumb? Yes. But just like Ray and I were saying, like if you got into some power armor, even if it was kind of dumb, you'd still be going like, yeah,
I would love it. Bad. Yeah. Look, so there's a huge problem with the firewalls, but Duke's already fired up the plasma cannon. Listen, his giant cannon's going off, and he's past the point of no return. He can't stop it from happening. He can only try to aim it somewhere that will do less damage. And he's also overheating.
I see what you did there.
Thank you.
I mean, here's the thing. There's basically a bunch of awesome and then jizz noises.
I'm firing!
Awesome!
It is.
I mean, to be fair, every dude I've ever had sex with has yelled, "I'm firing," right before coming. So
you know, I've never, but I'm gonna start.
You really should.
You'll be divorced within 2 days.
It's helpful for your partner so that they know ahead of time what to expect.
Yeah, please. I don't do those things. The other thing is, look, I'm not a science jerk like Robert Clark Chan. I am well aware of Newtonian's laws of motion, where action provokes a reaction. And if you are shooting a plasma cannon with the level of power, you shouldn't just be able to just be standing there you Duke should have flown 90 miles an hour backwards upon shooting this plasma cannon into a mountain, I will point out, destroying the mountain.
Well, my understanding of this is that the energy, the recoil energy generated by a plasma cannon is heat energy as opposed to kinetic energy.
Oh, okay.
So,
you know what?
That's
all right.
Why we got the things going.
I don't know. I can live with that. And the suit goes into overload. They got to get him out of the suit. It is too hot in there. And that's when Duke, like every guy, with the exception of Lieutenant Stone, the one guy who's an adult, everyone else is a 13-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Scarlet, you've got to try this. High tech pulls a great move. He's like, is Duke all right? Who cares? Is my suit okay? Thanks, High Tech, you piece of shit.
I mean, that suit costs more than everyone's lives, probably.
Oh, guaranteed. Oh,
also, yeah. Duke is thinking the same thing. He's like, holy shit, I hope this thing is okay because I need to do that again.
It was pretty rad. So let's cut back to Cobra, Gina, because first off, all the Cobra forces, all the leaders have gathered in Cobra Commander's chamber, but Cobra Commander's not there. Has he run off? I don't know. Storm Shadow shows up and invites everyone to a party. It's a going away goodbye party for Sigma Six. Uh-oh. And what I love about this is that everybody's just like, why are you delivering this message? Why do you know about this and we don't? And Storm Shadow just casually drops a, because I'm the only one here that doesn't fuck up all the time.
Yeah, so that was what I was going to say. He has absolutely fucked up before. What is he talking about?
Has he in the series?
Has he? Yeah, I don't remember him really having any big moments of failure in here. He's usually the one,
isn't,
you know, getting the thing.
Constantly, like, going after, you know,
Snake Eyes?
Snake Eyes and not getting them, or, like, coming across Snake Eyes' little proteges and not getting them.
No, usually what happens is he's on a mission. He runs across Snake Eyes. He's like, this mission's important, but I really got to box with you for a while. He loses, but he still gets away with the thing. So Cobra Commander's like, Jesus Christ, man, would you mind just like not doing that and get back here 5 minutes sooner?
Yeah,
but he's still, I remember it was like two episodes of this ago where Cobra Commander, like the opening scene, sends Storm Shadow like out on a mission to get a thing.
Is that the
and then we
episode?
Do this whole maybe though they do this whole other episode of the show, and then at the end it's like Storm Shadow like got the thing and we never really discussed it during the show. He just went off on his own deal and got it. So I don't know. I found him to be pretty relatively successful. He's not winning all his fights, but he's completing his tasks. And look, as long as you get your work done, I don't care if you're working remote.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly.
Yeah.
100%, though, Cobra Commander does not allow telecommuting.
No, Cobra Commander is a look, he paid a lot of money for that Cobra Temple. He needs to see it filled with people or he feels like he's wasting time.
Love the Cobra Temples. Like in the original, they had so many.
Yeah.
So many. I hope one is just filled with Skittles.
There are no temples in this series because they destroyed all of them in Sunbow. All of them. There were so many of them. They blew
underwater bases.
Yeah, that's true. But I hope one of them that was destroyed was filled with Skittles.
Yeah, that's why the oceans are rising.
Oh, dang. They tasted the rainbow?
Taste the rainbow!
Terrifying.
Whenever there's a mission, Sigma 6 is there.
Sigma 6!
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
It's the G.I. Joe Defiant Complex.
Nobody beats G.I. Joe.
It's awesome.
The Defiant's launch base opens to reveal a flight control center.
Liftoff.
Wow. The booster becomes a space station and the Defiant's bay opens for rescue missions.
Imagine flying the Defiant.
Go, Joe.
Nobody beats G.I. Joe. A real American hero.
Live the adventure of G.I. Joe. Defiant Complex comes with driver and astronaut.
Joe, Joe.
Whenever there's a mission, Sigma 6 is there.
Sigma 6.
Look, all the Joes.
Frank Todaro is doing that live act, that live staged reading with the OG cast of Transformers.
Yes, and it's phenomenal.
It's ridic.
Yeah, like, how do we get to that?
That's a good question. As soon as the tickets go up, I'm going to get them for everybody.
Get them for us, because we're all there. Please, that's amazing. Because especially knowing Frank like we do, that's a visit with everybody moment.
Yep.
It's a great guy, that Frank Todaro. Guys, if you could support Frank Todaro in any way, go do it. He's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, all the Joes are off the grid. All the team, like, their Sigma sensors are down. Heavy Duty, Firefly, Tunnel Rat, they can't be found. Lieutenant Stone's the only one with a signal. So they say, Stone, go check out the team and see if you can, like, you figure out what's going on right there. Heavy Duty's team. Scarlet says, I'm going with him because I don't trust that guy. I think he's the spy. And I don't know why they all think that. Like, it's not a very good swerve. Had they named Firefly something other than the name of a literal well-known Cobra agent from the previous series, maybe there's something to be done here.
I mean, here's the thing. This episode infuriates me based pretty much on Scarlet. Sure. Like, the others are idiots too. And I do like the fact that we find out that Duke was always suspicious. I like the fact that he's not a complete idiot, but everything Scarlet does is inept and
it's
incompetent.
Monumentally stupid.
Especially when she gets into that alley, which I'll get into later.
Oh, we
but
will
her,
talk.
Her, like, saying, oh, God. Like, at this point, if it were me and someone were like, hey, someone on your G.I. Joe podcast is a traitor, I would keep my mouth shut. I don't know if it's one of you. She shouldn't even be talking about like this in front of Duke, in my opinion. She should just be like, oh, wow, okay. I'm just going to go to the bathroom for several hours. nothing to see here. Like, come on. Trust no one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One of my biggest problems with anime, and this is faithful to it, is that people just act not like people act. Like, they just, I don't know what happens to people in animes, but they just don't act like, there's not a proper cause and effect. There's not a proper motivation for the way, like, and it's all over the place with everybody in all animes, quite honestly, except Robotech. Yes, of course, Chan. Well, first season of Robotech. Second season, there's a lot of that in there as well.
Fair enough.
But and so just the fact that Scarlet just has decided, based on literally nothing, that Stone is the spy. She is bending over backwards to try to make this right in her head. And now I have met a Trump supporter, so I understand this is possible. It's just she should be smarter than that. I would like to give Scarlet the benefit of the doubt that I would not necessarily give a 2024 Trump supporter. You know what I'm saying? She should know better.
It's like, for a kid show, it sort of makes sense, especially when you want to sort of misdirect your audience. Like, sure. Oh, well, you know, Scarlet knows what she's talking about, so obviously it's him. It's real ham-fisted, but, like, we're old, and of course we know what's going on. So that I don't have as much of a problem with as what happens later.
Okay, fair.
In the alley?
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
The alley is problematic.
I mean, this is laying the groundwork for her being stupid, but the alley later is just a big stupid inept burger.
That's full blown dumb. Yeah. Also, just a brief mention, the robot spider dog is fixing the soup and it's adorable.
It is not. It is absolutely not.
It's adorable. And
I'm probably going to have to cut a gif here because there's little fucking tentacles that come out of this thing.
It's adorable.
Plug themselves into the fucking computer and come out like it's friggin' Urutsuku Doji. It is not pleasant.
You did not just quote that particular anime on the show.
I certainly did. Not
again.
I still want to know what happened to the real OG dog. If we go the rest of this season without seeing that dog.
Oh, yeah, Spike still has him. Yeah.
Won't be too soon.
Yeah. Anyway, cutting back here, Megalo City. Let's go to the alley, ladies and gentlemen. We've been talking around it. We're going to Megalo City again. Stone is in the alley with Scarlet. They're there because that's where the team's comms went dead. They have it tracked to that alley. And Stone turns to Scarlet and he says, I have a huge secret I'm going to tell you. And Scarlet's reaction to that is, yeah, I know you're a traitor, you piece of shit. Like, that's what he's going to just suddenly tell you in this alley. Like, what?
Yeah.
Not great.
I mean, also, here's what I'll say. Like, if this was OG series Scarlet, not only would she be smarter.
Oh, way smarter.
But she would also just fucking incapacitate him. And then when Firefly shows up, she would be like, I don't know if Firefly could also be the traitor. I'll just incapacitate him. And then, like, question them when they're tied up or something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she used to be awesome at karate.
Yeah. Remember, she has her dad owns a karate studio and she has three older brothers who are all great at karate and they're all like flaming redheads. It's fantastic. Yeah.
And there's nothing about her in this show that has ever said she is even slightly a badass.
Well, she's also like 14 years old, which doesn't help either.
Mm.
So Stone's going to tell her a secret. At this point, Firefly flops out of the alley. And then Scarlet just decides, Stone, I knew you were the spy.
Yeah.
And she's so dumb. It's so dumb. And then Firefly literally outs himself as Firefly is saying, like, Stone's the traitor. And Stone's like, yeah, dude, Firefly is clearly the traitor. Like, what are we talking about here? The rest of the team is missing and he's not. Probably a good hint. Just saying, they didn't forget about him. And at this moment, Scarlet pulls her gun, her crossbow gun on Stone, and Firefly runs in behind her, grabs her arm, and uses her weapon to shoot Lieutenant Stone roughly 78 times.
What was that about? I thought it was going to cut back, and like we'll see it from his angle and he's like dodging and whatnot like that.
No.
She managed to divert it to a trash can or something like that.
Yeah.
The fact that it never pays off is very weird. Also, I just really hate the fact that he, like, this dude just overpowers her. Like, she does not try anything. Mm-hmm. Like, fucking karate chop him in the gut. Like, OG Scarlet would have thrown an elbow back, turned around, kicked him in the head, grabbed the gun back, and been like, well, now I know that you're the traitor. But she doesn't even try. This is just purely strength against strength. And she is a wimp who cannot, like, he just puts his two hands and, like, forces her. It's very upsetting for a number of real reasons.
Yeah, it is, like, it feels like straight up like a sexual assault.
Yeah, it's very upsetting.
It does. And remember, OG Scarlet was once hogtied in the cockpit of a plane with Destro, and she still was able to use her boots to shoot her crossbow and bring down the whole aircraft. Original Scarlet, it cannot be emphasized enough, is a badass. One of the biggest badasses in G.I. Joe was original Scarlet. This version is a joke. She is awful. She's so dumb. She is capable, but not great. And the fact that Firefly also in Sigma Six, Firefly has been shown to be a combat monster, right? Now, it could be because the bats are not trying to hit him. Maybe we could make that argument, but he does walk into the middle multiple times. He just like straight up just like lights a cigar, grabs his gun, walks to the middle of a battlefield and just blows everyone away, including people that the other Joes are fighting. And so him overpowering her and being good at combat, I'm actually okay with, but she should be more capable and smart. This situation should never have happened. But also the fact that, yeah, Lieutenant Stone, he shoots him repeatedly at relatively close range, and near as I can tell, hits every single shot. Next time we see Stone, we see no evidence of him having been shot at all.
Ray just said he's cool with sexual assault. You all heard it here.
That is disappointing, man. Disappointing.
And I was just about to start a new job. Ruined. Oh, man. I just said, no, I'm not saying anything. Okay.
No. Real quick, I did send the GIF. Take a look at that.
I love it. That is adorable.
It is disgusting.
I kind of like it.
Upsetting.
I like it, but I want original flavor, dog.
Yeah, OG dog, please. Thank you. Okay, cut back to the Joe base. We're running out of Joes here. Firewall keeps failing. Where's Long Range? Where's Spirit? Where are any of these guys? They're just not there.
No.
Now that I think about it, there are Joes missing. How could you eat at a time like this? There are people missing.
Well, here's the thing. As we soon find out, there's just no time to call anybody else in.
I have thoughts.
They may be blocks away at the 7-Eleven getting a Slurpee. We don't have time.
Well, you this has been going on.
To go to fucking Skull Island or wherever the hell we are.
This takes place seemingly over the course of a couple days. And yet nobody thinks to call anybody. The firewall keeps failing. High Tech is trying to get this power armored suit like up and functional, but he's just having trouble with the firewall. Okay. Lieutenant Stone and Scarlet, their comms have now both gone dead. Cobra Commander, we cut to Cobra Commander, and he is having a moment. Cobra Commander is like, he is like on a chariot being taken to the literal Colosseum.
This is
while wearing his deepest regalia. He is on a parade float to the Colosseum where all the Joes are captured. And he says, all we have to do now is invite Duke. And I love it. This is the Cobra Commander I came here for. Pageantry, arrogance, big moments, big feelings. This was my favorite part of the entire episode.
They're strung up on like laser spider webs, mm-hmm. and they're all KO'd. Like a Roman procession is not something you see every day. And yeah, that's the kind of theatricality I want out of my Cobra Commander.
AC. Yeah, I do. This was the best part. I think I would have loved to see them a little bit bruised up. That would have been great.
Yeah. For example, Lieutenant Stone got shot repeatedly and he just looks totally normal.
Yep.
So why do we shoot people if it doesn't mean it? Okay.
Real quick. I want to hear, this is how many times Lieutenant Stone gets shot.
But I needed some proof.
You want some proof? Then here it is.
That is 20 plus times.
I also especially hate the noises Scarlet is making there.
Yes.
Especially.
It is all bad.
It is. Yeah. He's.
No, Ray, you liked it. You established you loved it. You love when women get overpowered.
Mm-hmm. Stop it, you. Duke says he's going to take the power armor in alone, even though it's not ready to go again. And they go, well, obviously we should call some people to help you. Like, literally, this is big enough at this point. We should probably call in, like, some sort of large military operation. Mm-hmm. And Duke just screams, I don't want any help. No help for me.
He takes a moment, too. We're like, let's get some help. Pause. Think about it. No, there is no time.
There is no. I just wrote here, that is the dumbest shit I've ever seen. That is so dumb. In an episode full of dumb moments, this could be the dumbest.
Mm-hmm.
And Allie's pretty dumb, though.
From this point out, there's just nothing redeemable about this episode.
No. Honestly, the best part of this episode watching it on YouTube was when it froze for like a minute straight and just kept going. They strap Duke into a literal missile, remove the safety locks.
We don't have time to call anybody in. Instead, retrofit me an ICBM cruise missile.
Yes.
To put a human being in there, what in God's name is going on?
Yeah, and they fire Duke into orbit. He leaves the gravitational pull of the Earth and then comes back down again, having to re-enter Earth's atmosphere. What part of this was necessary? I cannot fathom this plan.
It doesn't make sense. Also, why would a missile that we had to retrofit to, you know, put a human being in there, so you only have a few minutes to get this thing done, then have a landing module?
Yes.
Like thrusters, retro thrusters pop out like little wings?
Yes.
Where was that? How was that
in the
original design?
Also, a great moment is there's Cobra Commander in the Colosseum. He looks up and sees this missile coming towards the Colosseum. And his first thought is not, that's a missile to blow us up. It's, Duke is here. Why would that be your go-to point? I'd be like, I better get underground. A missile is about to hit the Colosseum. That would be logical. Instead, he's very confident. He goes, right on time, that Duke showing up in a missile like he does, although he has never done that before. Also, we cut back to the dungeon. Yeah, how is Stone alive? I don't know. That's okay. He lands in the middle of... I thought he landed in the middle of the Colosseum. This is bad aim. Duke lands outside the Colosseum in the middle of like 100, 200 bats. And instead of just sit back and shooting him to pieces, they like jump on top of him like a football pile.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, the only competent one in this episode is Duke.
Is he?
I mean, he's the only one that, like, he had an idea that Firefly was the traitor. He knew enough not to tell anyone except his, like, oldest friend.
Mm-hmm.
He shows up and starts blasting away at a bunch of robots and sort of rescues the rest of the team. Like, he's the only... I'm not saying he's great. I'm saying he's the only one that's kind of good.
I would argue Lieutenant Stone is probably the most competent person in this episode.
I mean, not G.I. competent Joe enough was. To keep from getting shot 97 times.
Well, Scarlet fucked him.
He did get shot at 20 times. And none of them hit.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe he's a ghost.
Maybe he's a ghost. Oh, shit. He's intangible.
Before we pass by the discussion with Scarlet and Stone in jail, all strapped down like they're in a bondage dungeon, this is the line that really pissed me off. After, you know, basically grabbing Scarlet from behind and making her shoot and doing all of the stuff that was like completely unnecessary. Scarlet is now like, I'm just a little girl and I can't do anything, to the point.
I don't know what I was thinking. I should have brought both of you back to the Sea Titan and let Duke decide.
The fuck do you need Duke to decide anything? If anything, you should, you know, like, no, you should be able to figure something out. Instead of, you know, like letting Duke decide because he's the man.
Yeah, I hate everything. I hate that she's apologizing about this at all. It's all terrible.
Yeah, it's not Scarlet. This is not the best version of Scarlet we're going to see. I'll just say that right now. I actually did like the moment. Duke's not using his plasma cannon. He's using like what I can only describe as like a ripper gun. And it is honestly pretty cool that he's just dropping down and he's just rapid firing bat after bat after bat. And it is kind of great. But there are too many bats. And so they dogpile on top of him. His suit's integrity is just going down quickly. And at this moment, the episode freezes. The episode freezes on YouTube, not on Tubi. So if you are watching this episode on YouTube, you will see that it froze right at this moment and comes back with Duke destroying the bats and walking out of an explosion cloud. What we missed there, and I went and watched it on Tubi so I could fill it in. It's just high tech. It is just high tech, like narrating what's happening with Duke. It's real weird. It's just high tech going like, Duke, what are you doing? Duke, is he going to use his plasma cannon? Oh boy. Oh, wow. You can't do that, Duke. You're going to overheat. Duke, what are you doing? And it's just him. There's a Benny Arthur comedy sketch from way back in the day that we performed in a show that I did. It's one of my favorite sketches because the whole entire sketch is Benny Arthur, a friend of the show, sitting on his couch, like watching TV. And then essentially there's a knock at the door. And then like the most exciting thing is happening off stage. As it's just somebody shouting like, oh my God, Optimus Prime is here and buildings are being destroyed. Oh no. And the Dinobots. And it is just the craziest action scene being described by somebody off stage, like an Uber Eats driver who knocked on the door to deliver and now is just seeing everything amazing. And the entire sketch is just Benny Arthur sitting on his couch reacting to this crazy thing happening outside his window. It's anti-comedy and I love it. And a big ups to Benny Arthur. But that being said, that's what happens in The Missing Minute. It's just high tech telling us what's happening with Duke instead of us just, you know, seeing Duke do things.
Except that he isn't really explaining it. Because if you, I was trying to figure it out. It's like, okay, is he deliberately overloading the heat panels
what I thought he was doing. He was firing the plasma cannon with the intention of overheating everything.
Which, because I thought as he was being dogpiled, I was like, oh, what's going to happen is like he knows this thing's going to break. So he intentionally overloads it while they're piled on. He like crawls out, you know,
yes, pops
himself out of the gear and then gets out. And then the explosion destroys all the bats.
Makes sense.
Instead, what happens is
that's not what happens.
There's a huge explosion. All the bats are dead. He walks out of this Akira like explosion.
It does.
And not a scratch on him, including all of the exposed skin.
Yes.
Even if we're to believe that somehow he managed to redirect all of the energy that was building up in the overload and shoot it out towards the all of the bats, he would have burned his friggin' arms off.
Yeah.
And
also the heat sinks weren't working.
No.
We very clearly saw his defense against this explosion was non-existent. So it is badass when he walks out of the explosion towards and into the Colosseum to take on Cobra Commander, like just keep on rolling. That is awesome. That is badass. I loved it. It made no sense given the rules of the narrative that the entire episode had been setting up for us.
I just wish, because it was all of this narration from high tech, he could have just said, oh my God, are you overloading the things? And like, he's redirecting the energy. But the explanation did not say that. It was mostly, oh my God. Oh no.
Yeah.
What? It's just
not great. And that is literally the end of the episode. Duke is walking towards the Colosseum and we just fade to black. So
I guess forgot about the 5-minute pause in the middle there.
Well, I watched it on Tubi, so I didn't have that problem.
Yeah, yeah, I should always watch it on Tubi. It's good quality on Tubi.
Yeah, but you get ads on Tubi.
Only like two of them.
Yeah, I get zero on YouTube because I pay for YouTube.
Gross.
Oh, Jesus.
If you watch as much YouTube as I do, you will realize how much time you were losing to ads. Not cool, man. Yeah, anyway.
I would say exactly those words.
Yeah, not cool.
Thank you. You are not cool, man.
Wait a minute. How dare you?
Not that cool. That is
G.I. Joe Sigma 6 Revelations, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed it. We only have a handful. It's six more of these episodes. We are halfway through the second season.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hi, I'm Kevin Goatee.
Hey, I'm Kevin Israel.
We host Gutting the Sacred Cow, the best and most unique movie debate podcast out there. Why?
Because we invite our guests to pick a film that they find overrated or hate and try to convince us to see their argument.
They must pick a film that is a financial success, widely beloved, or critically acclaimed.
That's right. Some of the films our guests have tried to eviscerate, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Pulp Fiction, Ghostbusters? You can find us on all podcast platforms like Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. And if you want to watch our smiling faces, we're also on YouTube.
GuttingTheSacredCow.com is where you find all of our information. And we look forward to our guests infuriating you when they attack your favorite films.